All right. Good morning, everyone. 20 years men's breakfast been going. Goodness me. I came to work. I know I attended a few in the very early stages, but it's a long time for me. But thanks for the invite. Thanks for the warm welcome too, and the wonderful breakfast. How good was that breakfast? Huh? And to the kitchen people, well done. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Who's to say men can't do breakfast? All right. I'd like to start by opening the prayer. Can I do that? Let's do that. Father, this morning we come together as a group of gentlemen to first and foremost honour you. And the one common thread that we have is a relationship with Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you died on that cross for us. We thank you, Lord, that you have set us free. And we thank you, Lord, that we have a hope that extends far beyond this cross. We thank you, Lord, for what you have done for us. And this morning, Lord, as I bring this little story and journey of mine that is still ongoing, Lord, I just pray that it would inspire and it would challenge and it would encourage each of us to live our best life in Jesus' name. Amen. And that's exactly what I've called this morning, living my best life, as my talk. I'm going to take you through basically my journey as to, you know, how have I got to this very point. And so, here goes. So I was born with cerebral palsy. I've got right side, I can never pronounce the word, but anyway, it's right side cerebral palsy. So I had a cerebral palsy, if you don't know, it's a caused by a brain injury, either in the womb, during birth, or shortly after birth. It can be one of those three. It's very rare, actually, that it happens during birth, but in my case, that was me. So it happened during the birthing process. My left side of my brain was squashed one way or another. As far as we can figure out, it was a result of four 16 years, which was done 53 years ago, quite a bit. And as such, I ended up with a left side brain injury, and most of us may know that the left side of your brain controls the right side of your body, hence the right side of my body is affected by cerebral palsy. Not only do I walk with a limp because of the cerebral palsy, but the way I always like to show people, I'll just demonstrate, so I can do that with my left hand. I can't do it with my right. Doesn't matter how I try. So I can do that, but I don't have the motor neuron to control because the connections aren't fully connected. That gives you a quick overview of what cerebral palsy is all about. If you want to know more about it, have a look at the Cerebral Palsy Alliance website. I'm going to start with me at 16 years of age, okay? Because that's where my faith journey begins. So at 16 years of age, so imagine you're a teenager and your orthopaedic specialist, who I've been under since about 3 years of age, so I knew it quite pretty well, says to me that it's very likely, my mother was in the room, says that it's very likely that I'll be in a wheelchair by the time I'm 30. That frightened the daylight out of me. Never forgot it. So it stayed with me all these years. Still very, very prevalent in my mind. So I grew up in the church. I grew up actually in the United Church, as it was Presbyterian, that branch of the United Church years ago. And then the United Church. And basically, I came to faith as a result of what I'm about to tell you, which is the miracle. Okay, I'm going to show you a photo. Okay. Okay, not sure if you can see that so well, but here we go. So this is my pelvis. This is an x-ray that's taken of me in...
Slide show.
Oh, yeah, okay, sorry. I should have done that. Sorry. It would have made a difference, wouldn't it? Okay. So this is my pelvis, as it says there, showing the right side hip dysplasia and an ossicle. I'm going to point this out before I tell you the story. If you have a look at my left side, my left hip looks hopefully as good as yours, because that's a pretty good. Right side's a completely different story. You can see down here, this isn't properly formed properly. This, the femur bone, is quite dark in comparison to that. And also, you'll see, unlike here, where there's a proper arch and socket, doesn't exist. Not there. But what there is that little bone there, that's called an ossicle, so the doctors tell me. So, now I'm going to tell you about the miracle. Again, 16 years of age, 1983, I was under this orthopaedic surgeon at the same time that he told me that by the time I'm 30 I might be in a wheelchair. He said, we can delay that with any sort of luck. We've got an operation. And he said, what we can do is we can do a bone graft from the left side of the hip, and we can put that down. Basically, we're going to form this part of the socket so that we make it actually there from the bone graft, and we'll thin it all down, and that way it'll hold fast. Okay, as you can see from that x-ray, there's no teeth. So how come there's no teeth? Well, here's the story. On Christmas Eve 1983, we had a visiting evangelist come to Adamimity. He just blew in. He came to church for Christmas. After the service, he said to me, what's your problem? I said, I've got cerebral palsy. And he said, oh, do you know that Jesus Christ will heal you? Well, read about miracles in the Bible, but wasn't a Christian. I attended church, I admit that, and my parents will admit that as well. So, he said, but if you let me pray for that, Jesus can heal us. Okay. So we checked out with the minister at the time, and he checked out with my parents, who all go to the OK, and he literally sat me down in the front pew, lifted my legs up, held them up like this and prayed, and my right leg got really, really hot. I mean, really hot. Left leg was perfectly normal. I've never forgotten that in my life. Right leg grew, right leg completely changed. Didn't know what the heck was going on, but I was completely that night and the next day, and ever since. Still walk with a limp, true. And I still don't know to this day why I wasn't 100% completely healed. But what I can tell you is that God did enough to make me be able to be who I am today. And that actually proves that. Here's the thing. Unfortunately, I don't have the previous x-rays because we can't track them down. But there are x-rays out there somewhere of my hips without that ossicle. And my orthopaedic surgeon in early March 1984, March, April, when I was to undergo the hip operation of the pinning joint, the orthopaedic surgeon, when I got to the hospital, he did another set of x-rays, basically, and would have seen this. And so what's happened? On this set of x-rays, there's no ossicle. On this set of x-rays, there's this ossicle, and that ossicle is holding my hip in place, and still is doing so today. He was absolutely dumbfounded. My mum couldn't believe it. She called the surgeon, Dr. Bates was his name, called mum in and said, what's happened? Has anything changed with Pete? What's going on? And mum said, well, the only thing we can think of is we had this evangelist come to Adamimity and pray for him. His leg got really hot. We didn't know what was going on, really, but God must have done this miracle. Hallelujah. So that ossicle basically meant that, yes, I still had an operation, but basically all he did was clean the joint out. And instead of being in hospital and in traction for 3 months, I was out and home again. And that historical fact that happened to me. So that's the miracle. That is why I am where I am today, from the beginning point. But looking at it from, like, what's the rest of my journey? Okay, so it's very much a faith-based thing. This whole thing is faith-based thing. As I said, I wondered many times, why didn't Jesus just completely heal the cerebral palsy at the time? I've often thought that it's a bit like Paul's thorn in the flesh. In 2 Corinthians 12, where Paul tells us, and he actually pleaded with the Lord to take the thorn from him. But God told him that my grace is sufficient for you. So the great news is that the saving grace of Jesus really did truly come to me in 1984 when I was on a youth camp, again with the United Church actually, up in the mountains, and I was paid for it by the church of Jesus. So that's when the saving grace of God really did touch my life and change my life from the point of view of my faith. And I'm proud to be able to say that I've had a faith journey ever since, walking with him each and every day, and I'm very grateful to him, and I'm sure we all are, that Jesus has saved us. So even though I was born with cerebral palsy, I didn't want it to define who I was. I never really wanted it to hold me back. Even as a child and through my adult years, I've really done the absolute best, and I've really tried hard to just live a normal life like anybody else would. But as I've moved into adulthood, and if you know anything about cerebral palsy, the thing is that what happens, you end up with major inflammation in your joints, you end up with all sorts of dramas, and you end up with lots of pain. And I was no exception to that. So the joint pain for me started in my mid-20s, and in those days I was working quite hard physical jobs. For those of you who have known me for many years, my parents owned a supermarket and an energy, and I used to work ridiculous hours and used to carry ridiculous loads, and probably shouldn't have done that, but in your 20s you do stuff like that, don't you? People put their hand up and say they did that. Alright, so here's the thing, by my mid-40s things were critical. Things were pretty bad. After years of working hard, physical types of work, I'd really come to the point of needing prescription pain medication each and every day. So I was on a concoction of Panadol, Osteo, Ibuprofen and Celebrex every day. This is in my around my mid-40s. So in 2016, after 10 years of managing the caravan park, the time came and I decided that I had to leave the job that I was doing because the physical pain was just too great. And I brought in with me today these four books, and you might say, what are they? They're diaries. They're my pain diaries. So I've kept pain level diaries now for 4.5 years. So my pain levels are actually documented, and you're welcome to have a look at them because it's not a secret. So I was living many, many days back in those around sort of say 2010 to 2016 months of caravan park with levels of pain in the vicinity of 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 out of 10 every single day, more than not. It just did not go away. Always had a dull level of pain that was just there 24/7, and then you had to spike. And yeah, the painkillers, when I was on them, they did help to take the spikes out, but the dull level of pain was it just doesn't go away. Some of you in the room might know exactly what I'm talking about. Anyway, so I noticed that around this time, and I was really conscious of the fact, because I was really praying and asking God, why am I like this? Why do I have to be like this? You know I love you, Lord. You know I want to be with you, Lord. All these things. But why is it that this pain is just ridiculous? But I also was thinking, I now realise what that specialist meant about the fact that I could end up in a wheelchair. That's when I was 30. And I went long gone past 30, which is hallelujah, praise the Lord. But I was only in my 40s and facing that very real possibility. I actually thought in 2016, before I made the decision to leave the caravan park, I actually thought if I don't leave this job, I'm going to be in that wheelchair. I didn't cross my thinking about that. I get home and I literally sleep up at home every day. It was shocking. Anyway, so I continue to pray and I continue to ask the Lord, what am I supposed to do? So I left my work at the caravan park in May 2016, and when I left, I spent a couple of weeks. I loved going up into the mountains, climbing, catching up, all that stuff, and I did a lot of soul searching about what's next. And I also started putting out some resumes, as you should, because if you want to get a job, it's a good idea to tell people that you're looking for a job. So I did that, and unbeknownst to me at the time, but someone suggested it to me, you should put your resume in the challenge. Where you say, I work in the challenge now, I've been at it for almost 5 years, and we do the disability and aged care support in the community for people. And I say it's the most rewarding job in the world. The difference that I get to make in people's lives every day is so amazing. I love it. Anyway, so I heard about Kuma Challenge, but what I didn't know at the time was that the person whose job I was to replace, so take over his job, literally only 2 days before, or possibly three, I'm not 100% sure, but 2 or 3 days before I actually dropped my resume in, well, I wasn't really expecting to think of it. I'd never worked in disability and aged care. In fact, I hadn't had to go to Kuma Challenge website to find out what they did, because I'd never heard of them. I feel bad about that, but at the time, that was the truth. But when I started, I dropped the resume off, and I found out later that the guy who I replaced was just putting his resignation literally 2 or 3 days after my application. If they have a position. So there's miracle number two. I reckon God had that lined up. That's where I was meant to work. And 5 years later, I'm still there and loving every minute of it. The great thing about my office job was I wasn't working physically anymore. So guess what? My pain level dropped off a bit, didn't it? Wasn't so bad anymore. That's pretty cool. I felt so much relief from that, because I was still on pain pills, of course I was, but at the end of the day, because I wasn't running around like a madman all that time, you know, with whippersnippers and lawnmowers and cleaning rooms and all the rest of it, I wasn't going to do the work, so it was made it a lot easier. But here's the thing, I still had that continuous ongoing pain, it just didn't leave. It was still there. The other problem with an office job, after working so hard physically for so many years, now that I was in the office, guess what happened? Come on, you know what happened. Huh?
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. I was in my 40s, and guess what? Yeah, and I'm not proud of that. But I've turned that around as well. And here's how that journey starts. So, in May 2018, I was really at a point of saying, I really do think that these painkillers are not doing me a whole lot of good. I was having to go and have my kidneys checked out, put it a couple of times a year and all that sort of stuff. Now, wouldn't it be great if I could find something that would mean that I didn't have to get pain? Thinking that it wouldn't happen. But anyway, Dr. Google, as we do nowadays, and I read lots of stuff in May 2018 about this product, that product, but one really stood out to me, and it's called Harper Vitae. What it is the herbal pine bark extract from a pine tree that only I understand grows in plants. But it's it has numerous health benefits. The main thing was that it's high anti-inflammatory properties. So, in June 2018, I ordered myself 4 litres, 4 bottles of water. I know I'm going to try this stuff. So the day after I ordered the 4 bottles, I thought, I'm not going to tell the doctor. It's probably not a wise choice now I look back, but at the time it seemed like a smart thing to do, because if I was going to try a new product, I didn't want anything else to interfere in what might or might not happen. I wanted to either my pain level was going to skyrocket, or maybe over time it would reduce. So, ordered the VK. Cut the pills out the next day, just stopped. The first thing I noticed was, over that next week, before the product arrived, my pain level hardly changed. There was some spikes that I hadn't been having, but really what I discovered was those painkillers weren't doing all that in my situation. I'm not telling you guys that you should stop taking my medication. I'm saying that, just saying my situation, that was what happened. So, the other VK arrived and I started drinking it, as they recommend, 50 mils morning and night. And over the next few months, I noticed a change, although the initial change started within about 3 weeks. I got up one morning and I said to my wife, you know what? I said, I reckon this stuff might be starting to work. But the jury was still out. Yeah, I wasn't convinced. Anyway, so, as the months rolled by, we got a few months down the track, and I can show you here, it's documented in the pain diary on the 30th of September 2018, so some more than 3 months after I started with it, I recorded my first ever, for many, many years, zero of pain. I got out of bed that morning and I went, this is unbelievable, actually nothing is perfect. Like it had been gradually stepping down. We'd gone from fives and sixes and fours down to threes and twos and twos and ones, and then on this particular day, 30th September 2018, I had my first ever zero. I was pretty excited that morning because I went, wow, this is really something pretty incredible. I was very, very grateful for the fact that the Lord put me in touch with this product. I can tell you it's worked for me. Anyhow, all during this time and for a number of years, what you also need to understand is that I've been working on myself, even though I fell forward, like I said back towards the beginning, I've never let it hold me back. So I've been seeing physiotherapists for the last almost 8 years, and I've been seeing sports physiologists now for almost 3 years. I have a very good working relationship with my physiotherapist, and I really attribute lots of my improvement to the work that the physiotherapist has been able to do. So if you guys need to see a physiotherapist, here's the thing, follow their instructions to the letter, because if you've got a good physiotherapist and if you do what they say to do, they will change, you will get better. I can attest to that as well. I'm very grateful to Lara and to Amber as my sports physiologist for what they've done and how we've managed to improve it. But the thing was, to really start getting the benefit from physio, I had to get the pain down, because you can't do a lot when you're in pain. So the other VK got the pain down, which meant I could do more exercise. So, we got to a point in... going to check my notes here. So May 2020, so 2 years almost after starting to drink Arbor Vita, I've been drinking it ever since, I haven't stopped every single morning. I took it this morning, still drink it. But my pain levels by that stage, so May 2020, a year ago, were nearly, not always, but nearly either zeros, ones and twos, or quite a few zeros. There's a lot of zeros in there. So I had this idea, and many of you might have heard about my walk to Kosciuszko in December last year. This is December 2020. That idea was born out of something that I believe God placed on my heart, because he knew that I would love to walk to Kosciuszko again. And I woke up one morning in the early hours of the morning. Some of you might know, I'm crazy enough, I get up 3:30 in the morning, but I'm usually in bed by 7:30 at night, so I do my day on that sort of cycle, so I should get my sleep, but I function best early in the morning. So I get up at 3:30 and my morning consists of at least 45 minutes of physio, and then at least 30 minutes, I always do 30 minutes on my exercise bike. And then I also do a walk after that, sometimes in that movie before I leave, sometimes in 10 or 11 minutes before I start working. So that's my day. That's what I said. I haven't done my walk yet today, but I have done my exercise bike. In fact, I hit a personal best this morning. I'll tell you a bit more about that shortly. Back to, sorry to jump around there a little bit, but back in July of 2020, when I woke up that morning thinking, I might be good enough to walk from across the corner. It's like, this is pretty awesome. I'm not that worried about it. So I had a yarn to my, first of all, I checked it out before I was sort of going, seriously, do you think I could actually do that? Yeah, you know. And I'm thinking, yeah, I can't. You can give me a yes answer, but, you know, I really felt that it was pretty right. So I checked out with Lara, and Lara's in physio, and I said to Lara, this idea. I reckon later in the year I should have a crack at walking to the top of the office, to Mount Kosciuszko. And she said, well, if you're going, I'm coming. And I said, really? I said, well, do you want to come? She said, absolutely. If you're going, I'll come with you. Alright. So about a week later, when I saw Amber, the sports exercise physiologist, I said to Amber, guess what? You wouldn't believe it. I'm thinking about doing this walk to Kosciuszko. And she said, well, if you're going, I'm coming. What? I couldn't believe they actually wanted to join me, but really, anyway, long story short, I assembled a little team all together, including myself. There was 12 of us that we didn't all do the walk. In fact, there was only 9 of us did the walk on the day. The 3 had other commitments on the day in the end and had to pull out, but the other 9 was having an awesome day. On the 5th of December last year, I went with Cosie. And not only did I manage to walk that 13 kilometres from the top of the surface to Kosciuszko and back, I don't know whether you guys have done that walk, but I'll tell you what, it's actually harder than you might think, because it's 300 vertical metres. For someone who's into mountaineering and you know, doing lots of bushwalking, yeah, it'd be a walk in the park, I get that. But for someone with cerebral palsy, that only a few years before was struggling to walk even a kilometre, if that, without excessive pain, the idea of walking the podium back 13 days is pretty gifty. As part of that journey, and thanks to the generosity of people in the community all over the place, because Facebook's a wonderful thing, we raised $17,150 for Kids with Cerebral Palsy, which is pretty jolly amazing. And the best thing was, I kicked the personal goal. I really did kick the personal goal. I had a little team with me all the way along the line. And I'm just going to show you. There it is. Anyway, that's us at the top of Kosciuszko. We had a pretty amazing day. I've got my daughter there, I've got my arm around my daughter there in the front. I've got my niece, I've got my father, I've got my kid wife, and there's Lara, Amber, and Brooke is with her arm out this end next to my daughter. Brooke actually works with Lara, she couldn't make it. So that's us at the top of Kosciuszko. And the best thing is we made it back as well. I did twist my ankle on the day. which made it interesting walking back 6.5 k's with a twisted ankle, but I did walk. I used my brother in the end as a bit of a human crutch to walk in because the last 2 miles was pretty tough, but I still walked every step. Pretty amazing. God has done amazing things in my life. And yes, I have worked really, really hard, but the underlying of all this is my faith that gets me through every day knowing that I can do this stuff. So, that was the walk to Cozzy. When I was doing that walk, I didn't even know if I was going to complete the third attack. I seriously didn't know. I was thinking to work up to doing 13 kilometres. So I did do a lot of training in the 6 months sort of leading up to December. So people who were following me, they saw that I was making steady gains and I was improving. Because I knew I needed to get stronger and fitter to be able to do it. Imagine what I had to lose the 12 kilos that I put on as a result of my office job. And I'm proud to be able to say I didn't do that. I actually lost 12 kilos and got back to my goal weight. I've actually gained a little bit more weight now, but it's actually muscle mass, not terrible mass. Because I'm now doing lots of other stuff. I'm now doing boxing. Doing bike riding, I'm spending at least 2 hours every day going full on, and but gradually I'm getting stronger and stronger. I am, you know, so it's great, it's just fantastic. The thing about the walk is that it was a major faith journey for me, because I really, as I said, didn't know whether I would make it, but I did trust the Lord, and I was grateful for the team. Obviously, they were incredible. And the feeling of conquering the top of Cozzy when you haven't been there since I was about 15 or 16. The last time I walked the Cozzy was actually the spring, I believe. So it probably was September or October before the miracle. Probably interesting, I find. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why I wanted to, if I could conquer it and walk back, get back there. So interesting. Anyway, I made it, we did it, we raised the money, and the journey is still very much ongoing. So where am I since the walk? Any question? No, I'm not finished. So in 2021, here's my diary. So obviously I'm only up to today, but my diary for 2021, since New Year's Day, documented in here, I've had 2 days of level one pain, and everything else, yeah, you must understand this, if I have any pain at all, I do not put a zero. It only ever gets a zero if it's a zero. There has to be nothing. No joint pain at all. There's 2 days in there that are level one, every other day this year. Thanks to the Lord, thanks to Arvind Vijay, thanks to my wonderful team of people who are encouraging the community at large. It's just amazing to be still in this situation, 53 years old, living in the service hall, and literally I am living my best life. I have never been this good, even as a kid, I was a punk. To understand that is quite incredible. So, but I am still working at it. I am working really hard. And in fact, I'm working so hard that I've actually just set myself a new challenge for the month of May. And you guys, apart from the fact I put it out on Facebook yesterday, so lots of people know about it. But you're the first live people I've told it to. So I'm actually setting a challenge for myself during the month of May. And I kicked it off this morning with a 12.2 kilometre exercise bike ride in 30 minutes. Went pretty hard, I can tell you, I was sweating like crazy. My Fitbit tells me that I spent 65% of that 30 minutes in the peak zone, sorry, in the cardio zone, which means my heart's going pretty hard. I'm working pretty hard, so I don't mess about. But I did 12.2 kilometres in 30 minutes, which is a personal best by almost, it's almost 0.6 of a kilometre further than I've done in 30 minutes ever before. And I think I did that because I'm pretty pumped about the fact that I'm actually doing this challenge. What I'm going to try to do during the month of May is challenge myself to ride 500 kilometres in the month. And so I've got a long way to go, 487.8 kilometres, whatever it is. And it's going to be a combination of exercise bike and real bike. So it's a bit of a hard to debate. So obviously when the weather's bad, the exercise bike's a lot better than being out in the wind or whatever else like that. But at the end of the day, I stand here as a child of the living God and a forever grateful person for the eternal life that he has brought in me through his death on the cross. And the fact that I am truly living my best life. Thanks for listening, guys. If you have any questions, I'm happy to try to answer them too, but if not, that's fine too. He went from being this alcoholic guy to this guy who was just 110% full on for Christ. And he just had to tell the world, and that's literally what he set out to do. Well, my main goal at the moment is to do mate. Beyond that, I don't really know. For another walk or whatever, yeah. I don't know. I haven't even planned to do this bike ride in May. So what happened was, it was only about 3 or 4 weeks ago I saw a thing from the Cerebral Palsy Alliance, where they do this thing called the Extra Mile. And what it is, basically anybody can sign up and try to ride 1, 2, 3, or 500 kilometres for the month. So I've gone all out and said I'm going to try to do 500, which shouldn't be too big a deal, because at the end of the day, if I do 10 or 11, which is what I normally do on my exercise bike every day, well, that averages out to 360 or something for the month. But I've still got to push myself pretty hard, another 140 on the real bike at least, to get to that 500, and I do have to go beyond that. But where I go to from that, I really don't know. I just want to be the best version of myself I can be. I've actually started on doing weightlifting now. I'm doing lots of different stuff, so I just want to keep getting as good as I can. Yeah. Anyway, thanks, guys.